Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Scott Ron's new book, The Book of It, is an intriguing collection of short stories, dialogues, and tirades exploring a myriad of subjects. A wide-ranging compilation of essays touching upon history, philosophy, religion, and more, certain to provoke discussion and debate. Scott grew up in the 1960s on a farm in Illinois. He worked in a restaurant, becoming a chef, eventually training under different chefs, was in the plastics business for 17 years, currently working as a commercial baker. Scott has a lifetime of learning from his exposure to a wide diversity of cultures, an avid outdoorsman having explored the Rocky Mountains from Santa Fe to Washington, known for his outdoor photography. Scott Ron, author of The Book of It, is joining us on This Week in America. Scott, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, how's it going, Rick?
It is going well, and I'm looking forward to talking with you. This really is an interesting book. I mentioned thought-provoking, and it is. What was the inspiration in taking these thoughts of yours and putting them in the book?
Well, I actually spent most of my life, I kind of had an unorthodox and adventurous life. Mark Twain once said that his philosophy was, when in doubt, do it, and that's kind of how I lived. So I learned it and saw a lot of things, and I also was both blessed and cursed with just curiosity about almost everything. So I've always studied, and I read during most of my life, history, science, philosophy, literature. And that was the thing, you know, and I was just reading and studying and had a great deal. I was a great conversationalist in the bar business, believe me. Pretty much anything anybody could bring up, I knew something about. And, well, that life was pretty carefree and reckless, and, well, obviously life was kind of a party if you're in the bar business. And that life became in control of my life and not me, so I quit it. And then I needed something to occupy my time and in my mind, and so reading and studying philosophy and religions, and then the history of their followers to get a context as to what they, you know, really believed or saw. And when I look back across it, it's like, it's pretty safe to say that I stumbled across traces of what I came to just call it over and over, and that actually turned my studies into a sort of obsession as I sought to disprove everything that made no sense. I mean, it kind of sounded like a conspiracy.
Exactly, yes.
I'm still not on board with the conspiracy thing, but there's definitely a series of events that seem to happen exactly at the right time all across history.
And that's
in the 1990s, I had a traumatic head injury and was having memory issues, and fearing that I would lose the things I studied, I began to write them down and actually constructed kind of a text of it. And from there, I found it interesting. But I felt a few other people would. I mean, if you read a textbook, it's great for a while, but then it gets really dry and monotonous.
Yes.
And so once I finished this text, I started wondering if there was a more interesting way to present what I learned. And eventually what became The Book of It just came out of my mind. I wrote it all down on small memo pads, and actually limited how many pages a day that I would write so I'd have time for sleeping, etc. And, I mean, it just came out.
I was going to say, once the ideas started coming, obviously it was a flood-like, wasn't it?
Yes, pretty much.
This
pretty
is
much.
The Book of It by Scott. Yeah, go ahead, finish.
Obviously, the information was fresh in my mind.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'd been writing it down, so. But then I saw eventually, you know, I was writing something that was going to be book length, and then began to wonder, you know, when it was actually going to end and I'd have a finished book. Well, once I did finish, then I recopied these little notebooks into a large loose leaf notebook, and that's when I titled it The Book of It.
Well, it's appropriately titled The Book of It. Scott Rahn is the author and our guest on the program. Googling, that's R-A-H-N. The book is available at Amazon, the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can link on. So this was what, it sounds like a book that was written over a number of years. How long did it take you to finally get the book published?
Okay. I always wanted to publish it. I mean, it was a finished book. Why
yes.
not? And the thing is earning a living, et cetera, living a life, it kind of, that stuff kind of filled my day. And then, of course, I had the fear of, as you said, there's a lot of essays, even tirades in it. You know, I was going to create some kind of a blind, almost religious following composed of people who only read the book and accepted its contents as some kind of a true new gospel, which is far away from anything I ever wanted. And then there's a very real concept that some people would point out certain specific passages and label me any number of really untrue things. And then about 2016, I became unemployed and began to serious debate publishing the book. I had nothing else to do. And a close friend of mine, who's the only guy that's ever read the handwritten manuscript, encouraged me to do it. It took 2 years to do it. So after 15 years, almost, the book of it was in publication when I went back to work.
Well, and it really is an interesting read, and we're getting into it with Scott. I think after a couple of minutes, you have the understanding that, okay, this is a unique book, and this is not a textbook. This is a book that is fun to read and challenging to read as well. Time is going by so quickly, so much to talk about in the book. Can you talk a little bit about some of the experiences that influenced the idea for the book, your book, The Book of It?
Sure. By 2010, I was seeing things happen that I actually had written down, and that was like 10 years earlier. And, you know, at that time, there were potential and predictable future events. I'm certainly not a psychic. And there's some were natural, some were man-made. Those things often have disastrous and violent consequences. I mean, including loss of life. You know, people are injured, properties destroyed. And I began to feel like, okay, maybe there's something to this that other people should know, outside of the fact, you know, it would disappear completely once I'm gone anyway. And most of it's pure speculation, and I don't think I fully believe in the eventuality of some of it, but it's mostly based on science and probability, what has been historically humanity's, not to mention the history of the various governments, their reactions to sudden upheavals and drastic change. I mean, fear, uncertainty, anger, and loss of voice seem to make humanity abandon credible science, intelligent reasoning, and even their own concept of self-discipline, not to mention what is truly right or wrong, in their quest to get back safety, comfort, and prosperity. And they also have nowhere, no matter when or where in history these things occur, they've given little thought to the fact that no matter what they do, even if that what is nothing, there's going to be consequences. And those consequences should have been fully realized and thought about before, you know, they did what they did.
Right. The Book of It is an interesting read. It's by Scott Rahn. That's R-A-H-N. Book's available at Amazon, the usual places. I mentioned thought-provoking. In fact, I said that a couple of times. Will provoke discussion. What do you hope the readers take away from reading The Book of It?
Oh, that's kind of it. I hope, at least some of the people that read it, it opens their mind to the idea there's a lot of possibilities out there that they weren't taught in school.
Exactly.
You know, they weren't even given the chance to see these things. And I hope at least a few of these readers will, rather than just accept what I've written as positively true, or, well, more likely, deny what I've written as impossible, they'll go out, put forth a little effort, read some books, study a little bit, and prove or disprove for themselves rather than just believe something they're told. And I know that there's going to be very few who will go out and do that, but I have hopes now that some will.
Well, it will provoke that type of thinking and possibly further action on the part of the reader when they read the Book of It. Talk about the rationale behind that title. I love the title, The Book of It. How did you come up with that?
Okay. It's a nickname. Okay. There's really not a name for it. But I think one thing, because the timing of our interview and the publication of the book, it never occurred to me, and I was asked a question, and I got to make it very clear. The It of the Book of It has absolutely nothing to do with the Stephen King novel and Pennywise the Clown. It sounds crazy to say that, but I've been asked if it has to do with that, and I had to say no before, so... But as back to the subject, as for my own using of the name It in order to name, it's just threads I found in what I call, you know, the tapestry of history. There's things that happen and things that repeat and things that happen again or things that happen at exactly the right time. And it makes a person wonder if always that's by accident. But It itself just... But the thing, I did search for a name for it, or even a party responsible, but I also just started calling it because of statements like, there it is again, what is it? Does it really exist? Why is it hidden away as though it's just an old legend? Who is responsible for it? Is it really just some sort of series of random events? Well, I kept calling it, and it became the name, and or its name. And that's basically how I arrived at it.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. It's the Book of It. Scott Runn is our guest on the program. It sounds like your mind is always active, probably have more ideas for the Book of It, maybe other books as well. What are you working on now?
Right now, it's kind of hard to say. I mean, I work a lot of hours, but I mean, technically speaking, that text form is still sitting there. It was completed. I don't know whether... I'm going to publish it or not right now. I mean, time will tell that because, well, honestly, publishing a book is a lot more work than people would believe it is.
Yes, it is.
And there's, you know, also your reaction readers of the Book of It might have to it and its contents that I have to consider. And it might actually be that no one wants to be told more about it. It might be, you know, things like academic powers that might succeed in discrediting the Book of It as nonsense written by some crazy old man. Who knows? And the fact is, though, that what anybody could say has no bearing on the truth told. And there's still more things hinted at and things, you know, people could go out and learn for themselves that I know nothing about. And, but, you know, the ridicule of people that tell things people don't want to hear can do wonders when it comes to turning people, even people who have actually seen that truth, against the person who says it. I mean, that's happened again and again across history, too.
Yes. Well, it just, you have so many ideas, and it all started with this curiosity. The Book of It is written in a unique fashion. Talk about the way the book is written and how you ended up writing in this particular unique style.
Okay. Like I said, I had the text already written, and I was trying to figure out a way to present what I wanted in a way that would hold the reader's attention and at the same time inform them and actually entertain them a little bit. And it occurred to me that in a lot of ancient writings, especially in Greece, ideas were always presented as theatrical plays, more or less. You would go to a class, and your instructor and people would play the parts of different people in order to keep the students' attention and interest. And it's also, you know, the purpose of a lot of ancient legends, fables, parables, all that stuff. And it makes these events and lessons rememberable. And may actually be why, you know, whether the people that use these words or not know it, you know, Jesus of Nazareth and Shakespeare are probably two of the most quoted people in modern English. It's just nobody knows that those are the people they're quoting. They just use things they said. And so I decided that should be the form. The characters themselves, obviously they're a part of me, but actually they're each one kind of me as they existed at a different time in my life. And what I wrote is their own thoughts, emotions, and frustrations, which are my thoughts, emotions, and frustrations at those times. The odd thing is, there's actually at least one character in that book that I know definitely I hadn't even become yet. You know, that person that I evolved to be over time since I wrote it. And I didn't count on the layers of metaphors and riddles and little cryptic messages that are part of it. But they're, you know, things that just seem to have happened, and I kind of put in the foreword keys to looking for and finding out what they are.
And it's done in such a, again, it's a unique style that you write in, and so much in the book, so much it in the book of it. A couple of minutes left in the program. Touch briefly on some of the civilizations and historical figures that the book talks about, brings up in your book, The Book of It.
Oh, that's kind of a... people come up, well, it's kind of hard to avoid Hitler, for instance, but that was neither good nor bad. And the result, I mean, you would think that a mid-20th century civilized people would never, European people, would never do this sort of thing that was done by the Nazi regime, yet it happened. There's other periods in history that things that existed that we don't talk about in history, because whether we were on the side of the person that inflicted the ill will, or we were the ones affected and we just assume forget about it, comes to mind, it's not really in the book, is, you know, you hear a lot that the current war is the longest war we've ever had. Well, that's actually untrue. The Plains-Indian War went for 36 years. It was 22 or 24 years with the Apache War, which we were also fighting at the same time we were fighting the Civil War. You know, there's things like that in history that just don't exist. People in advance, Plato comes up, and in fact, I quote a section from the Timaeus. There's a bunch of things like that through there. It's kind of hard to nail down across just one because of the way it's written.
Well, yes, it gives some people an idea of what topics you address with some of the content of the book of it. I love the book cover here, Chuck. I'm going to take a few seconds to talk about that. Talk about coming up with a book cover, because the book cover, like everything else, is so well done. How did that idea come about?
That was kind of an accident. I had reached the point in editing where we were going to actually have a book, and I had to concern myself with cover art. And the things on the cover of the book are mostly just things that I'd collected and put on bookshelves and then had to move as I got more books, and they became piled at one end of the bookshelf. And those things, actually, I walked by one day and noticed this thing that had been a random grouping contained a lot of things that were contained in the book. And I noticed that the way they were stacked, it was kind of an artistic thing, kind of a still life. So from there, it was just a matter. I reconstructed it on a desk. I needed a background, so I used books I studied. And after adding a couple other things to the picture, I took a photograph of it, like the photograph, and sent it in. And, of course, the rest of the cover, the black cover and the framing of it, which makes it look kind of like an old photograph type thing.
Yes.
That's, you know, from the publisher's Page Publishing.
Well,
and but I like the cover, too. I really do.
Well, again, the eye of a photographer. You can see that you are a very gifted photographer as well in the presentation of that. The book is The Book of It by Scott Rahn, and that's Rahn. Books available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly to get information and to purchase the Book of It. Scott, this has been a pleasure. Nice job with this. It's fascinating how this all evolved. Like I said, it sounds like your mind is currently active, and I hope we hear more from you, able to read more for you, because you do get us thinking and present history in a way that, not the way I particularly learned history. This is a lot more effective in holding my attention. Thank you so much for being with us on the program and sharing the Book of It.
Well, thank you very much for giving me the chance.
It was our pleasure. And again, it's The Book of It. Scott Rahn is the author. Book available at Amazon, the usual. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Scott's Amazon page. And we're back on today's program, This Week in America, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.